A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea, during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote: 'You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went. And look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
Thank you, Sandra. And this morning I want to talk with you all more in the midst of you all. You know, I always do all the talking, right? But rather than a particular sermon sort of oriented thing, I just want to talk here today. I know that puts my back to the choir, and that's always a little risky. Tell me if they're making faces at me, will you? Will you pray with me, please? Lord God, we have come in this new year with hearts and minds open to be filled with you and your love. Speak to us. Speak through me, speak in spite of me, that your words might be heard this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So did you all have a blessed Christmas tide? I did hear Miss Sherry use the word y'all. I was proud of her, right? So, a blessed Christmas tide. I know that there's been lots of joy, and I know that there's been some challenges, and life continues with all its ups and downs. We grieve with the Qualies on the passing of Jan. But like Easter, Christmas is a season. It begins on Christmas Eve, and it goes through Epiphany. And if y'all aren't friends with Dawn on Facebook, you have missed her local photography, the 12 Days of Christmas, which has been fabulous. And maybe if you ask her nicely, you can be a friend of hers on Facebook and catch up on the Adrian version of the 12 Days of Christmas. I'm grateful that Christmas is a season because in my vocation, along with many other church workers and a lot of volunteers, by the time we get to Christmas Day, I'm like ready for a nap and pretty tired. And maybe you too, no matter what's going on in your life, it's always a busy season. So I'm particularly grateful for those 12 days, that season of Christmas that has sort of its own rhythm, its own invitations, its own, if we let it, its own way of being with us. And so it does end on Epiphany. When is Epiphany? January 6th, always, 12 days after Christmas. Christmas is always set at December 25th. And so it was yesterday, Epiphany, but the high church folks allow us to move feast days forward so we can do Epiphany Sunday on this day. As Sherry said, the it's a day that we mark the manifestation of God on earth, or the birth of Jesus. Epiphaneia is the Greek word, which also means appearing, right? The appearance of the divine, of God in the world. And not just Epiphany, where the Magi finally catch up and the appearance of Jesus and before the Magi, but to the whole world through what becomes the ongoing stories of his birth, his baptism, and the first recording miracle, which is the wedding of Cana in Galilee. Now, the Eastern Church, the Eastern Christian part of our body of Christ, they still maintain that multifaceted approach to Epiphany. They celebrate the birth, baptism, and the first miracle. We in the Western world, we just love the camels and the wandering guys, and we really focus on the Magi, those ones who traveled far and gave up much to learn what was happening in the world through the observance of something happening in the heavens that they read and marked as being heralding a quite important birth of a king. So I don't know what you've been doing in these 12 days. We did have the office closed between Christmas and New Year's, and we appreciate all of you for allowing us to do that. So there's been rest and time for family and friends and a little bit later get up times. And I've spent some time dreaming and praying about the year ahead, right? Wondering with God, what is in store, what God desires for the year ahead. And so I invite us all for a minute to think about the year ahead. It perhaps will be the very best year of your life. Why not? Take it. Hold on to that possibility. You are standing on the front end of beautiful days, amazing things that will happen in your life, people that will come forward, family events that will just bring joy to you. That will be true, even for the choir. Are they making faces yet? And there will be challenges. There will be things that we don't even anticipate right now, can't even imagine, that will come forward, and we will be asked to find who we are in the midst of those. Who will we be? How will we show up? Who is God asking us to be? We know the year is marked with the probability of some crazy American stuff, right? We know because of the election coming up and the issues with the ballots and Supreme Court interactions. Even as yesterday and now, Epiphany is also the celebration, or the, not celebration, but the remembrance of what happened at the Capitol 3 years ago, and we have even there this sense of Americans not being able to agree on even what happened, right? So we know the year ahead is going to be fraught with people who want to divide us, people who seek to divide us, who want us to not trust one another, who want us to forget how to hug one another and how to be open and caring and curious about the people behind their beliefs. Gosh, I hope we don't go there. I hope we today can choose, can intentionally choose, can say, no, you don't get to separate me from my brother and my sister. They get to think differently than I do, and I can love them all the same. They get to be very different than I am, and I can love them all the same. We stand on the cusp of world forces trying to divide us. And we won't win, the common man, us. I don't know that there's any princes or kings in here. Maybe. And Jesus won't win when we allow ourselves to be divided. So here we are. Right, at the beginning of a year, 365 days that this year will play out, minus the 7 days that have already, or six before us, right? And I don't know how many days that means there are shopping days for Christmas, but somebody's figured it out, I'm sure. I am so glad that it's not my job to figure out who is right and wrong. I'm so glad that I don't have to figure out who gets to be on ballots and who doesn't get to be on ballots. I'm so glad I don't have to figure out responses to wars and big budget issues. Maybe you're glad too, but I'm quite sure I do not know the answers to many things. I just don't have that expertise. What I do know is the love and care of our Lord and Savior, and the love and care I receive from and with all of you, and the faithful work and faces of the people of God and the people of community. I also know that through our baptismal promise, our vow, that we have all vowed together to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, to reject the evil powers of this world, to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. If only each event came with a tag by God that said, this is evil, this one is evil, right? And this one is not, because we're prone to sort of rush in with some judgment, perhaps that makes us feel more secure. So we have the ability to choose how we want to show up before it happens, so that we can be sure of who we want to be and who God is calling us to be. And because I come from the Baltimore Washington Conference and all of that Washington DC stuff, and a lot of my good friends and colleagues are, you know, yet there in those churches, I saw again on a YouTube screen that I'll have Brian show in just a minute. It was during Advent of 2020. So Advent of 2020 came after the election. It came before January 6th. It came during a height of a peak of COVID with lockdowns and people not able to go anywhere, no vaccines, right? Lots of fear and whatever. And people started doing those mixed choruses arrangements where people sang at home. And so the Washington Chorus sang Thomas Troeger's version of the scripture of Isaiah 6. He called it the dream Isaiah saw. And it's so beautiful, and I just want us to watch it and see it for a minute with some of the images of that year. But before we do, I want to read the words to you so you can hear them as they're being sung. It's Isaiah 6, the ox and the lamb, the lion, that text. And so the words they will sing is, lions and oxen will sleep in the hay. Leopards will join with the lambs as they play. Wolves will be pastured with cows in the glade. Blood will not darken the earth that God made. Peace will pervade more than forest and field. God will transfigure the violence concealed. Deep in the heart of the system's gain, ripe for the judgment the Lord will ordain. Nature reordered to match God's intent, nations obeying the call to repent, all of creation completely restored, filled with the knowledge and love of the Lord. And then the chorus that is repeated is, little child whose bed is straw, take new lodgings in my heart. Bring the dream Isaiah saw, knowledge, wisdom, worship, awe. Brian, will you show it for us?
Thank you.
little child whose bed is straw, take new lodgings in my heart. Bring the dream Isaiah saw, knowledge, wisdom, worship, awe. As it came across my YouTube, it's startling to remember some of those photos. 3 years ago seems a long time ago, and yet it's all right there. Very stressful, difficult, challenging, uncertain times. And so we stand before this new year with beautiful days ahead and some challenging days ahead. And who shall we be? Who are you asked to be? What journey is ahead of you? What heart transformations is God asking for from you in your life? Will we surrender our hearts and our actions and our lives to this child and be people of love and peace and joy? Or will we be determined that we know a better way and that our way is the right way? It's so hard to let go of the right way. So as a first act of worship in each new year, I always ask the congregations I serve to join together in the words of the covenant prayer as written by John Wesley, as sung by the choir in their anthem. It is a really hard prayer to pray. You can say the words, but if you're going to try to mean them, it's a really hard prayer to pray. It's hard to say those words and really mean them. They'll be up in front of you here in a minute, but I keep them by my desk. It was a gift to my ordination class from the bishop to remember the words of this prayer every day. It is a prayer of surrender, of knowing that all things come from God, and whatever we have is all that we need, and that whatever we don't have is something we don't have, and all is well in the midst of that. And after we finish this little chat, this little talk where I know I'm doing all the talking, I'll invite us to join in that prayer together. But before we do that, I want to share just one other set of words. There were so many words coming to me that were beautiful. They're written by Jan Richardson. She's an author and poet and artist who made home on the internet many years ago, inviting people in various ways. And she wrote an epiphany blessing called For Those Who Have Far to Travel. And she doesn't mean miles. She means days and events and happenings. I think there is far to travel this year. I'm glad to travel it with you. And I join arms and hearts and hands with all of you, no matter what the days bring. There is love, there is one another, and there's a little child whose bed is straw. So I invite you to receive these words of blessing into your hearts, written by Jan Richardson. If you could see the journey whole, you might never undertake it, might never dare the first step that propels you from the place you have known toward the place you know not. Call it one of the mercies of the road that we see it only by stages as it opens before us, as it comes into our keeping step by single step. There is nothing for it but to go, and by our going to take the vows that pilgrims take, to be faithful to the next step, to rely on more than the map, to heed the signposts of intuition and dreams, and to follow the star that only you will recognize, to keep an open eye for the wonders that attend the path, to press on beyond distractions, beyond fatigue, beyond that what would tempt you from the way. These are vows that only you will know. The secret promises for your particular path and the new ones you will need to make when the road is revealed by turns that you could not have foreseen. Keep them, break them, make them again. Each promise becomes part of the path. Each choice creates the road that will take you to the place where at last you will kneel to offer the gift most needed. The gift that only you can give before turning to go home by another way. by Jan Richardson.